Welcome to the Urban Pitch Podcast, the beautiful game of life. Today we have, I don't want to put you in a category, so I'm going to just say Sticks. We have Sticks joining us today.
I love that. That's a great introduction.
Yeah, well, you know, so you introduce yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
Well, I created Urban Pitch.
Owner. He's the owner?
I'm Korean, obviously, that you can tell, and I created Urban Pitch. My name is Sticks, like he said. I'm born and raised in Watts, California. Been doing music, man, for a long time. I don't want to tell my age, but I've been doing it for like 16 years. I've worked with and developed artists like Iggy Azalea, and worked with artists like Grayson Chance and DJ White Shadow, who's Lady Gaga's DJ, and just various different artists. I've been doing my own thing. I've been on tour with Tyrese, the actor, singer.
Twitter famous, right?
You love social media.
I've
been on a few tours. I mean, I've probably been on about six domestic and international tours as a solo artist, as a performing artist.
Primarily, you're an artist, right?
Yeah,
but then you also work what on the producing?
On the producing and songwriting side.
Songwriting side as well. You want a Drake's ghostwriters or what?
I wish. I wish.
Get that Drake ghostwriting money, right?
I just do a lot on the music side, man. I've helped develop a lot of careers, helped see a lot of careers through to get to the next level. And now I'm pretty much focused on myself, branching off from the music. Because music, I look at it as a platform and a foundation to kind of do other things. You're not going to become a billionaire just putting out music.
Very, very few guys are, right?
Very few, but it's not from music. Music is their foundation.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Dre, he got his fortune from headphones. 50 Cent got his from vitamin water. You know,
Jay-Z. The launching pad, right?
Exactly. But it is the most prominent, or one of the most prominent launching pads.
Yeah.
Music, it helps change lives. Music is the universal language.
Okay, so what do you think about how the game has changed, especially in the music, right? And because you're talking about it, so like you can't really make that much money directly from music anymore, right?
No,
because it's all available, freely available. You put something out there, and then all of a sudden, you know what I mean? It's just interesting
thing. It's a lot of people like to use terms like gift and a curse.
Okay,
I'll just use those terms for the sake of conversation.
Yeah,
like iTunes when it first hit the scene. Mm-hmm. Well, Napster. Let's start with Napster.
Ooh, you're going back in the days,
man.
Okay,
Napster hit. It was a shocker to the music world. It was like, oh my God, I can download music for free.
Right.
Everything that's out. And I don't think that was the end of music. I just think that was just a faster way to consume music. I think people, obviously there was a dip in sales, but people were still going to buy what they appreciate if it's good.
Sure. But so, when Napster came out, were you were already in the industry and you were already singing music?
I was like very new.
Okay.
Very new.
So was it
I was a dancer first before I was
break dancing or what?
Crump dancing.
Crump dancing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm one of
What's the girl's name? The
Miss
Queen
Prissy?
Of Crump. Yeah, you know Miss Prissy?
Of course.
Yeah, we know Miss Prissy.
They all danced for my group called the Cartoon Family.
Okay.
When they left Tommy the Clown from being clown dancers. Crump was created in Compton by Miss Prissy, myself, another dancer named Tight Eyes, Little C, Miho.
Okay.
All of these people, Baby C, we all came together and created this new style and exposed it to the world.
Okay.
And
man. We have ties, man. We know Miss Prissy from back in the days.
That's family. Okay. That's like family, bro.
All right.
Yeah.
So then you start off with dancing. So when Napster came out, you were a fan then. So you were like, dude, I can get music for free,
right? For free.
That's how
man,
I
downloaded
everything,
right? Then when Napster got hard, then Morpheus came, and
Morpheus,
then Kazaa.
Okay.
Yo.
Yep.
We on it.
Yeah. You know, that's how. So you downloaded Soulja Boy.
Share?
You downloaded Soulja Boy.
I never downloaded Soulja Boy.
Because that's how Soulja Boy became
Soulja
Boy. Exactly. That's the craziest thing.
I'm like, how did you get your music uploaded on Kazaa and all of that for people to download? But anyhow.
That is true, right?
Yeah. So when that happened, I guess the response to pirating music was iTunes. And I think that's kind of where the gift and the curse happens. So it's like, we have an answer to illegal downloads.
Okay.
But
What do you mean by we have an answer to illegal downloads?
I think this is perspective.
Okay.
I think it was a frenzy when Napster and all of this
first
stuff
came
happened.
Out, right? Yeah.
So now people are consuming music for free.
Yep.
And I guess what there had to be some type of background analytics or something drawn where to convince Steve Jobs and whoever his team was to go, you know what? Mm-hmm. Let's make each individual song available for download.
Exactly.
But let's charge $1.99 for one song.
Exactly.
So people can consume only the songs that they want.
Right. Because the idea behind that is, back in the days, you have an album, right? Yeah. And you have to pay $12.99, exactly. $15.99, whatever.
You don't like
right?
all of the songs.
You don't like all the songs. And so they're like, okay, we're going to individually, you know, price them out, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like 99 cents, $1.99, $1.99 today, right?
Right.
And but they can still find and download it for free.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is like, okay, am I going to go through all this trouble, download it for free, and it may be whack quality,
exactly.
or it's fake, or it's some bootleg right. version, or right. am I just going to spend $2 and get the quality song? I think that's probably like 80% of somebody, you know, the, right. the mindset. And then 20% is like, and also I'm going to break off a little bit for the artist too.
Right.
You know what I mean? It'd be better if it was flipped,
and,
right?
And,
it should
and,
be the other way around.
Exactly.
I'm going to break off 80%, 90% for the artist, and 10% is just for the convenience.
And I think that's where the curse part of the gift and the curse happens.
Okay.
Is now you're only charging $1.99 for a song.
Mm-hmm.
The label still has to get their money. Everybody mm-hmm. has to get mm-hmm. their money. And then the artist and producer and songwriter is left with a fraction, mm-hmm. a smaller fraction mm-hmm. compared to you selling a $12.99. Really, albums was like $20 back
20 bucks back in the days, right.
So but, at least with through $20, you get a percentage of $20 versus a percentage of $1.99.
But here's the thing. They always had the album, right?
Yeah.
And they always had singles.
Yeah.
Right? You could still
yeah.
get that single.
You get that
you
maxi
know
single, the $5.99 joint
the cover
at Warehouse and Sam Goody.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It flips it back onto the artist where it's like, out of an album with like, what, how many songs normally? What, 12, what?
Back then?
Yeah.
It was probably like 20 songs.
Okay, 20 songs. Out of 20,
songs.
How many are like fire that you would
probably
pay
like
for?
Probably like 5, 6.
That's the thing. So a lot of it is now, you know, from
well,
a consumer
well, that's
perspective.
That's what I say. That's the
yeah.
gift.
Right.
That's the gift part
forcing
of it.
The artist to be like, yo, don't put on like 15 weak ones, you know, so that I have to pay for all 20 when I only want 5, right?
So follow the transition.
Yeah.
So then what happens is record companies start going, people are only buying one song.
Yeah.
So now our artists don't have to focus on quality and body of work. They don't have to. We just need to find one song
mm-hmm.
to really put out. And then how many people are really putting out hit records? Not a lot of people.
Not too many.
And then we're forced. You're only consuming this one song and you're only yep. getting paid $1.99.
Yep.
Then as time and technology evolves, now we got Pandora.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you can just listen to the songs.
Yeah.
You don't have to
right.
like buy anything. You could just listen.
So are you a fan of the streaming services out there?
I'm a fan of the access it gives you to your favorite music.
Okay.
It's easier to get to it.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of the payment scale.
You're not a fan of the payment model, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, for
because
the artist, right?
It's still,
doesn't make sense?
It's still Wild Wild West.
I don't know.
There's no rules
know.
And regulation.
Okay, good. So I don't know what the payment model structure is for
it's
the
like
artist.
It's like 0.00007.
0.00007.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what you get paid on.
Yeah.
Based on somebody
per
listening.
Per stream.
Yeah, per so listening to the song.
So on average,
yeah, yeah.
if your song is on Spotify,
yeah.
somebody streams it a million times.
Right.
You'll probably get
a little
around
check.
Around $2,400.
Okay, so Spotify, Pandora, all the streaming services, Tidal. Nobody has Tidal, but whatever. We throw that out there.
I got Tidal.
You got Tidal?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Which ones do you have? If you don't mind throwing that out there.
Apple Music, Tidal, and
okay.
I have Spotify on my laptop.
Spotify.
On my laptop.
No SoundCloud?
Oh, of course, SoundCloud.
But you pay,
yeah.
but I'm saying paid.
Oh, I paid.
You
paid
for all of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so it's like those streaming services, they serve a function, but for
mm-hmm.
the artists themselves, you're not going to get paid. You know what I mean? It's just a platform for people
That's
to
it.
Figure out who you are, become fans, supporters,
discover.
Appreciate it, discover you, and then you got to make the money on either concerts,
merchandise,
right?
Merchandise, touring,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
branding, you know, hopefully.
You a fan of a 360 deal then? Or no?
I get it. I understand
it. Yeah.
Because if a, but this all comes from the.
It's all related.
It's all related,
related
to
the
download.
The fact
the legal download
exactly.
into the
it's
iTunes.
The fact that the
to,
yeah.
it's all related because now
they're
it's
not
like
making their money, right?
Exactly.
So
labels like,
to make,
if I'm
yeah.
going to make you a star
right.
and I'm going to spend all of this money and you're only selling $1.99
out, $10 million.
How does the banking system work? You go to the bank, you get a loan, based on your collateral, or what it is that you're engaging into. I'm like, all right, we'll give you a credit line of $10 million. You're not going to use that $10 million, but we'll give you a credit line for it.
Right. So you're saying that if an artist, like an up and coming artist, gets like a $10 million deal, right?
That's the value of the deal.
That's the value of the deal. That's how much they're going. Because, they're willing to invest in you, but it's a loan, right?
Because all of this is still a bank.
Yeah.
You sign to Def Jam goes to Universal, Universal goes to Vivendi, Vivendi goes to, it's all a loan. It's all collateral. So you may, your deal may be worth $10 million based on the value, based on the collateral of the artist. We anticipate this artist, based on his following and all of this and his momentum, he's worth X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll give you this. They'll cut the artist a check for, let's say 20% of that. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say it's 10 million. 10% is a, you know.
10%'s a million.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay.
He could get $1 million out of that deal.
He still got taxes.
He still got taxes. So now it's $500,000. Now then he got 20% going to manager, 5% going to, you know what I mean? So he left with about 200, maybe 250 grand.
Right. So are you, as an artist, are you a fan of the 360 deal or no?
I understand.
You understand it?
I understand it. It's to the artist.
Right.
It's their prerogative, you know.
Yeah, it's up to them whether they want to sign it or not, right?
You know, because but at the end of the day, a label can take you from 60 to 1,000 fast.
Yeah,
with that loan from the bank, you know.
What? Okay, so moving on to, like, because you mentioned like social media and marketing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
What? I feel like a lot of the up and coming artists and ones that are, you know, I guess getting all the hype and notoriety, a lot of it is based on their social media,
right
and the fact that there's like a, you know, they go viral based on something that they did on social media. People, you know, vibe with them based on their overall persona, and music is part of it but not 100%, right? Because you know, I've had this conversation yesterday with my boy, and we were talking about how, like, here's the difference between talent and hype. In today's landscape, as an artist, it's based on a lot of different factors, including social media, including everything outside of just the music itself, including videos and YouTube and all that. It's all, and you know, it is what it is, and it's all encompassing, and that that means the artist, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're talented, and so my metric on separating hype versus talent is, if you were to take away all of the social media videos and it was just about the music, would they still be at the level that they are at?
88% would not.
Okay, so that's my metric on whether they are actually talented or whether it's largely hype.
Right.
Because back in the days, you know, we're talking on Sure Mics, and you know, you and I were talking about Michael Jackson earlier, right? Would Michael Jackson in today's climate be a star if the, like, music videos didn't exist and social media didn't exist? Yeah, because he's talented.
Right.
But all these, a lot of these current artists, if social media didn't exist, videos didn't exist, Twitter, Instagram didn't exist, would they still be at or near the level that they are? A lot of them would not be, right?
No, man. It's interesting. Maybe not.
A lot of these guys that
they wouldn't be as successful, probably, but I think there would still be a large amount of success coming from different artists, because understand, everything that we, whether it's sports, music, everything is about connection.
Yeah.
And back then there wasn't no social media, so you didn't have access to see the lives of these people.
Yeah.
You wasn't able to feel like you really know someone.
Sure.
So the mystique created an area of, like, oh man, I wonder what it's like to be him. Now we know what it's like to be everybody. And with that, it allows people who come from different areas and places and cultures to relate to the star who goes through the same type of arc, who comes from the same type of things that they come from. And that connection is what draws you to an artist. So it's like, sometimes I'm with you, I'm a fan more of talent than anything else.
Right.
But a perfect example of this is Cardi B. Cardi B, not a perfect example, because I think she's really talented.
But she's out there.
But she, she's a good example.
So let's talk about her.
She's her relatability. People feel like, oh, that's me. I come from the same thing that she come from. Oh, I'm going through that too. Oh, my baby daddy, or I've been cheated on, or you know what I mean? Artists like that, and the people get to see that. Yeah. And she, you know, I hate to bring up old stuff, but she used to work in the clubs, you know? And there are a lot of women out there who go through that same, I don't want to call it a struggle, because some of them are experience, you know, every day. And so
she's relatable.
Relatability is everything. The connection is everything. And I think once that occurs, that's when you become a fan more than not being able to see. The talent creates, you become a fan of the talent based on like, wow, that's just remarkable. Like, I'm a fan of your abilities. But then relatability.
Something else.
Is just completely different.
Okay, but I feel like right now in the hip-hop landscape today, right, there's a divide, right?
Right.
There's a divide, and it's not necessarily old school versus new school, and, but that is one of the factors.
Yeah.
But also just kind of how, you know, there's a lot of the up-and-coming younger guys that are coming onto the scene, a lot of, you know, that you can categorize them as like mumble rappers, right, in the hip-hop scene, right? What are your thoughts on that, man?
Well, it's like,
you a fan of some of a fan or not a fan?
Some of the music I listen to. That doesn't mean I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But I can, I listen to it. Okay. Some of it, I mean, sometimes the beats and the melodies are like incredible.
Okay.
And it's the feel. I really go off of the feel of what how it makes me feel based on the environment that I'm in. If I'm in a club, I want to hear a certain type of music. Okay. If I'm at the house, I want to hear a certain type of music. If I'm in a car, et cetera, et cetera.
So you don't discount the new wave of young, you know, hip hop artists coming
through.
I think a
great example to discuss is like, you have your Kendrick Lamars.
Okay.
And then you have your Tekashi 6ix9ines.
Okay.
You know,
where do you fall on that?
I come from the era of what where Kendrick Lamar come from. You know, TDE, I know a lot of those guys. They're all good friends. Tekashi is a new wave, a new, like the Tekashis, the Little Uzi Verts, Trippy Reds, and all of these artists like that. They're a new wave of something that I kind of...
The SoundCloud rappers.
I don't come from that era. Okay. So I don't necessarily agree with their approach, but I understand the market now. Now
Is it frustrating?
And I'm not even being political. A little bit. Because
I'm frustrated. I'm not even an artist and I'm frustrated.
Because I'm an artist and I'm like, yo, I'm really dope. Like, I've really been doing this my whole life.
That's because you're a lyricist. And I heard your music, right?
No, thank you, bro.
Yeah, and you're a lyricist,
And an artist can come out of nowhere and make millions of dollars. And
without necessarily putting in the work.
You know what I mean? So that's really envy more than angry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't hate on it because I'm like, yo, this young kid come from nothing just like me and figured out a new way based on the market.
He has a new avenue of getting there.
And now he could take care of his kids and do what he gotta
do. So you don't hate on it, right?
Never. Anybody who learns how to make a living, no matter what it is, whether it's music or podcasts or, you know, I'm sure there's podcasts out, like this podcast is fire, but I'm sure there's podcasts out there where you listen, you'd be like, yo, how is this so popping? Like, our stuff, our content is like crazier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
you just got to figure it out, right?
You got to figure out the game, right?
Without
being
a hater, right?
Yeah,
I think you and I are similar on that. Like, there's a difference between being incredulous at like someone's success and being and just hating on it and ending it there, right?
Right. I think I literally today, Tekashi 6ix9ine, Treyway, the manager dude, and Tekashi, I started liking a bunch of their stuff on Instagram today. Okay. Because I released all like hate, like if I was hating, which I didn't understand it at a time, so I didn't say anything positive or negative.
Yeah.
But now it's like I have nothing negative to say. I'm like, yo, they made a way. Like, this is fire. Like, he's on fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So you can't hate on his success.
You can't hate on his success. And I've heard Treyway speak. You know what I mean? Like on Breakfast Club.
He's smart.
He's a smart guy. Yeah. He's a smart dude. He's
they
smart
understand cat. What they're dealing with.
Yeah. He might not be like business savvy in the traditional sense, but he knows
the business savvy in the current market.
Current market. Yeah, and he knows what he's doing.
He's a
same with Tekashi, right?
They should both definitely be Billboard top power 30 under 30 or whatever they call them.
30 under 30. Yeah. Forbes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, kind of adding to that, did you hear Eminem's latest, you know?
I did.
What'd you think about that? Because he's definitely on one side of that. You know, if there's a line here, he's on one side of it, right?
I will say.
I don't think he was hating.
Eminem is the greatest MC of all time.
Really?
Wow. All time. Like, if we're just talking about rap.
Interesting, yeah.
Like, lyricism.
Right. I don't disagree. Well, let's just say rap. I don't disagree.
Rap.
I think he's definitely.
Acrobatics. Yeah. Style. Patterns. Mm-hmm. Just kind of how he does it.
Linguistic ability.
Exactly.
Breadth of vocabulary.
He is the best rapper of all time. Right. He's not my favorite rapper. Okay. Jay-Z is my favorite rapper of all time.
Okay.
But when he put this out, I wanted to start with that.
Okay.
When he dropped the album and he started dissing all of these artists and stuff like that, I felt two ways. I was like, are you trolling? Like, are you trying to create a moment for your album? Are you marketing? Or are you really upset and you just expressing your feelings?
And what do you think?
Those are my questions. I need answers. I want to know.
I'll give you my opinion on that. The man doesn't need money at this point of his career.
So let me finish this real fast. So you're already rich.
Exactly.
No, you're wealthy.
Yeah.
You should be, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have anything to prove. Everybody has always put you in the top five.
Yeah.
You.
Except for Lord Jamar, but we'll let's do that. That's another conversation. Okay. All right. He's like top 100 or something, right? If that, right?
Right. Okay. Then for me, I just feel like.
What's your motivation?
Right. And so.
What do you think his motivation is?
That's why I'm saying, is this marketing? It's trolling.
No, he's not trolling. I don't think he's trolling.
Because look, think about it.
Okay.
I'll finish this. Think about it. You're already rich. Yep. You don't have anything to prove. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do something. I'm not saying stop rapping, but what else is, like, let's take Jay-Z, for instance.
Forget all that. Let me get to my point. Forget all that. All right. You're a fan of sports, right?
Of course.
You're a fan of basketball?
Yes.
Okay. Michael Jordan.
Of course.
In the latter stage of his career.
When he went to the Wizards?
Let's even before that. Okay. Let's say when he came back.
Trash.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Let's say when he came back from baseball.
Okay.
Okay. 96, 97, 98. Okay. Right?
When he wore the 4-5.
The 4-5? Yeah. 45? Yeah. When he first came back, the number? Okay. You just saying that? You're testing my knowledge, man. All right. Okay. So Michael Jordan, okay, had already won three championships. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then he, for whatever reason, you know, personal, whatever, his dad, you know, no one really knows, but, you know, people have ideas of why.
Right.
He retired, okay?
Right.
He left on top of his game, right?
Right.
He had nothing left to prove.
Of course he did.
Everyone already considered him the greatest of all time at that point.
No way.
Really?
No chance. After three championships. Magic's sitting out there with five. Easy.
Okay, good point. All right, let's put it this way then. Yep. All right, let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Wizards then. All right?
Trash.
Okay, but he had already...
Doesn't discount his legacy, but
right,
go ahead.
Right, so before he came back from the Wizards, okay, he had already won six championships now, okay? And he's considered the greatest of all time.
That's Eminem.
He retired, right?
That's Eminem.
Right. So why is he coming back? Is he coming back to troll people? No, he's a competitor. He already has the money. Yeah, I'm not saying whether he was the best, okay? But you're only calling him trash because you're comparing him to the old MJ.
I'm only talking about how he played. He went donut in a game. You know how
he
crazy.
He didn't go donut. He went under 10 points.
There was one game where he scored zero
no,
points. Yes,
no.
It was.
We're going to have to look that up. Don't make me pull it right up. Okay, but anyways, back to the original point. I feel like MJ is a good, at that point of his career and the motivation behind it,
right.
He already has money. He's already well-known. He's famous throughout the world. He's considered the greatest of all time. The only reason why he would come back with everything stacked against him, there's no value. There's a lot of risk, very little reward for him to come back at the time. But it's like, yo, I'm going to put these young cats in their place. I'm still a competitor. I still feel like I'm top of the world. That's Eminem's mentality.
And you know what? This is all perspective. I always say this is all perspective. But that's my problem. Not my problem as in my problem, but that's the problem I have with it.
Okay.
Instead of let me put these kids back in this place, in their place, let me put these kids on because I already did it. I already know how to get there. Mm-hmm. For me, Eminem is at a place where what's next? Mm-hmm. All right, now we know you can kill everybody on the mic. Mm-hmm. We know you can sell millions and millions of albums. We know you got money. You've already done that. Like 50 Cent.
Right.
50 Cent, like, all right, I went diamond and my other album sold probably another 10 million. And now I'm going power, vitamin water. Okay. Jay-Z, Rock Nation Sports.
No, I understand your motivation.
He put all of his homies on.
Right.
All of his friends are on. and making successful are creating successful businesses on their own and are making money and they're investing in things together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, and they all work with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, what else? Like, if you're going to continue to put out music, then put out music while you're doing everything else and you're empowering other people to get in the position to get to the next level.
So I
that's
get it.
My you're only saying that's beef
your,
with it.
Yeah, so you're saying like reinvent yourself and do something beyond just yourself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man.
But what I'm saying is like, he's his own man. He can do whatever he wants.
100%.
Right.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the reason I'm thinking the reason why he did it is because, yeah, he's competitive and he's like getting tired of these mumble rappers.
Yeah, I think.
Right?
And a lot of them dissed, right? Yeah.
The legends, right?
I don't disagree.
Right.
I do think a part of it is that.
If you're like MJ, right, and these young cats are coming on dissing your legacy and all these other contemporary legacies, and you don't think they're even at close to your level, like, you know what I mean? You're going to sit there.
I wouldn't even say nothing, though.
Yeah?
If I really felt like that they don't come, you know you're the greatest. You know how many people told Michael Jordan they can beat you one-on-one? Yeah. You know how many people told him that?
Yeah, but he didn't stay quiet.
He didn't stay quiet. He don't care.
Like,
he
which never, guys? On his team, he whooped every one of them.
No, I'm just saying, like...
Same thing with Kobe. He whooped... You know what Kobe did? Every single time, like, a new alpha player came onto the Lakers, like Meta World Peace...
He challenged him at practice.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And put him in their place and said, yo, you may be alpha dog in your previous situation, but up in here...
But I'm talking about...
You number two.
I'm talking about the opposition. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Every... player, somebody on every team probably was like, I'm a dog you today, Jordan.
Yeah.
And
during games, you're saying like during games?
Yeah.
And he put him in their place.
Right. But if there's an artist who's not
anywhere near your level, right?
Anywhere near your level or saying anything about you.
Yes.
And you come out and attack him.
I feel you're saying like you're going through the list of the guys that he went through, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, yo, it was point. So that's the part that made me feel like, are you trolling? Like, are you mentioning certain names because you know they're going to respond based on where they're at and that you want the attention from when they respond and it creates the social frenzy because they have a social media following. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what's the point? But
I get you now.
At the end of the day, this is still a business.
Right, right.
It's called the music business.
Yeah.
And not anything else.
Right, right. Show business, not show friends, right?
Right, exactly.
All right. Let's turn to soccer.
Let's get it.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You're not a soccer player. Did you grow up playing soccer?
I played
basketball.
Seventh grade.
For like But what's your connection with soccer today then? Are you a fan
community.
Of the game?
I'm a fan
community.
Now.
Community. You're a fan of
community is first.
Mm.
Because soccer brings a very, it brings a type of energy that brings everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you can go to basketball games and football games and everybody's rooting for the, but soccer or football, whichever one we choose to call it today.
It's like a common language, huh? Amongst cultures, right?
And the energy is just different.
Mm.
Everyone really is family when you're at a match.
Mm.
Everyone is together. It's, you know, as 3252 would say, shoulder to shoulder, you know, and they come block by block, you know, they come together and everybody's one.
Mm.
And you could feel that when I'm at the basketball games or any other games, people are just there.
Yeah, they're fans, but it's a different vibe, you're saying, right?
They're their own. They're fans of their own for their own reasons.
Yeah.
At the soccer match, everybody's holding hands and hugging and passing beer to each other and chanting and everything.
That's true.
It's just
never thought
different.
About that. Yeah,
that is true. And I'm attracted to that first more than anything. And because of that is what made me actually want to know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm full on, 100%.
You're into it, right?
Like I said off air, I've been in like 6 matches.
LAFC what's going on with you in LAFC?
So we're doing a shout-outs 3252, shout-outs Rich.
Okay.
Ben Chi, what up? Mm-hmm. K-Town, mm-hmm. King.
we'll call him Prince.
Prince, all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think Ben Baller is the K-Town King, you know? I'm not
saying
what? I am, you know what I mean?
You know what?
Yeah, all right.
Y'all going to have to, like, futsal match for the crown.
For the crown?
Right. Okay. I created the theme song for LAFC.
Okay.
So it all started, I was performing at Crush Groove. It was at the Forum. I think it was 30,000 people that day. And I needed something to wear.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Adidas store. I said, let me find something to wear to the concert because I don't have nothing. And usually I wear like my Think Watt stuff. That's what the tower is, mm-hmm. represents my brand.
Right.
And I was like, I'm gonna do something different today. So I was in an Adidas store and I couldn't find anything. And I seen this jersey. It had YouTube TV on it. And I was like, this looks cool. I didn't even know what it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what it represented. Mm-hmm. It just had Adidas, okay. and then it had the YouTube TV on the front. It was the white.
That was the white jersey.
The white kit.
Okay.
And I was like, let me get that. And then I bought some James Harden's, you know, tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. Shout out to James. He from Watts. Nobody knows that, but.
He's from Watts? Okay, because I know he went to Artesia. That's like my neighborhood.
He played
baseball. I just assumed that he was from like the Artesia area.
He played baseball at Will Rogers Park. Mm. That's in Watts. So I needed something to wear, so I bought the kit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I wore it on stage. Great night, 30,000 people. Next thing I know, I get a message, a DM message. And it was Ben Chi. He's like, hey, this is dope. I want to invite you to a game. I'm like, what? What is this? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yo, I want to invite you to a soccer match. Mm-hmm. I'm like, soccer match? Like, what soccer? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
really like
I hadn't been connected yet.
You know, mm-hmm. and so we, you know, it ran through the channels and I ended up reaching back out myself. I was like, cool, like I'll come to the game.
So, okay, so before that, did you know that...
I didn't even know
happening?
LAFC existed.
You didn't know that there was a Bank of California stadium?
I had no clue.
$350 million
I had
stadium
no clue.
And all this
no
new
clue.
Team.
Okay. Zero clue.
Magic Johnson's one of the owners.
Zero
right. okay.
clue.
Got it, okay.
Zero.
Right. So then what were you expecting when you...
I thought Bank of California Stadium was a stadium they was building for the Olympics or something.
Right,
I didn't know that there was actual games.
So before the game, though, you kind of did a little research to see what's going on? No, you didn't. So you just went to the game?
I just went.
Okay. What did you think it was going to be like? Like, you know,
I thought it was all smoke because people always invite me to this and invite me to that.
Yeah.
And
so
you
thought it was gonna be like a, you know, like a small stadium or, you know what I mean, like 5,000 people or whatever.
No expectations. I actually had zero expectations.
Okay, so you weren't expecting anything.
Nothing.
Okay. Yeah, just see what this is about.
So I went.
Okay. Crowd, huge crowd,
crazy. So we pull up in this. I was like, "Oh, this is the stadium that we always drive past on the 110."
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, "Damn, this
is legit.
It's huge."
Yeah.
And it looks great.
Okay.
And so then I meet. Another Ben Tran, I think is his last name.
Yeah, Benny. We know Benny.
Yeah.
He plays
funniest dude in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. yeah, dude is staying from Atlanta. I'm like, you're from Atlanta? Mm-hmm. I was like, this is already freaky.
Yeah.
And so talk to him. And so I watched the first couple minutes. I got there kind of late. So Ben walked us down to the field. And I'm sitting on the field watching the game. This is my first time I've ever been to a match.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay. And you're getting,
And
that's
like,
awesome, right?
I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And so halftime comes, and Ben's like, yeah, you can go in there, grab something to eat, blah, blah, blah. And I go in there, and I run into a friend of mine named Tony Toledo. He works at WSS. And he was like, so Tony is like, yeah, man. Like, this is a new team. Like, did you know anything about it? I was like, I don't know nothing. I don't even know how I got here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, did you meet Rich? I was like, Rich? Who is that? He was like, oh, that's Rich over there. Mm-hmm. So he was like, let me introduce you. So we walk over, and Rich goes, Sticks, this is the guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he was like, yo, pleasure to meet you. Dude, you was rocking our jersey before anybody even knew. Like, nobody is repping us like that. And you've been repping us hard, man. Did you even know what you was repping? I was like, nah, I just know it's L.A. Like, now I know it's like a L.A. team.
Yeah.
And he was like, wow. That's the kind of stuff that I look for. Mm-hmm. I love organic, just we didn't have to come find you to come do this. You doing this all out of... not the kindness of your heart, but
just naturally
you just want to represent where you come from.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. And so so we go back to the field, and Rich now is introducing me to everybody, the president, the GM, obviously after the game was over, the GM, mm-hmm. Tom, the president, and the woman who works for Bank of California, who was a part of the deal. And they was like, yeah, it's $350 million stadium. And I'm like, shit is crazy. And so I'm meeting all of these different people, and Rich is telling everybody the story, and everybody's like, Sticks, welcome home, this is family, everybody. So then Rich start kind of talking to me about 3252. And as I started to meet more and more, every game that I would go to, I would meet more and more members. And it was just fam. They all embraced, embraced me. And it was just love. It's like brothers and sisters just all showing love. And so I went into the studio one day and I was like, you know, I want to return the love. I went and did a song. Mm-hmm. Nobody asked me to do it. I just did it. Sent it to Rich. Rich was like, whoa, this is crazy. Do you mind if I send this to a few people? Mm-hmm. It's like, sure. An hour later, it's all over Instagram. Mm. The supporters were like creating their own videos with a minute of the song behind it. And it was all over Instagram. And I was like, whoa, this is insane. Mm. And so I was like, yo, I really, let's turn this into something for real.
Yeah.
Because the support is overwhelming and I just want
to embrace it right off the bat.
Yeah, I want to give back. Okay. And plus, I'm very active in the community as well. So 3252 is all about community and family and just creating that awareness and raising that awareness. And so it's just the marriage was just easy from there.
Right.
And so Rich got behind. He was like, yo, I want to support you. You've been supporting us. Mm-hmm. You're supporting 3252 now. Like, it's just a perfect relationship, man. Right. And let's just all get behind each other. Whatever you got going, we want to support it. Mm-hmm. Whatever we got going, we'll let you know. And from there, now we looking at the first ever song for an MLS team in MLS history.
MLS anthem, basically, right?
Yeah, MLS. Yeah,
it would be the first one.
Ever in history.
That's crazy. I can't believe over like a 20-year history, they haven't really created a team anthem, right?
It's crazy.
Yeah, right.
First ever hip hop collaboration.
And it's about to be released when?
I'll know after tomorrow.
Okay.
But it'll be in the next couple weeks. It'll be in September. It's this month for sure, guaranteed.
Right.
Then we're shooting a video at the stadium. Okay. We're doing this whole big old release. Yeah. Now we're talking about doing a document. Oh, performance for sure.
Yeah. You're gonna perform about at a game then?
100%.
Okay. And then and what else now you said?
Like documentary.
Documentary. Okay.
Shout outs Adidas. Adidas is full on.
Okay.
And
they're getting behind it as well.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
So MLS,
congratulations,
Adidas,
man.
And LAFC is all behind this whole collaboration.
That's awesome, man.
You know, so
yeah. So there's a lot of momentum going on there.
Oh
huh?
Man, it's serious.
Oh, that's crazy. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you, man.
Tell us about the, you know, so that's the Watts Tower, right?
Yeah, that's
so,
the Watts Tower.
Only, you know, people that are in the know or fans of like, you know, Menace to Society are going to recognize that right off the bat, right? You know, if you're a fan of, you know, those gritty dramas, they'll recognize that right away.
Yeah.
So what is that all about?
The Tower represents my brand. It's called Think Watts. It's a music, marketing, everything, multi-service, multimedia company, but it's also 501c3 nonprofit charity company as well. On the music side, obviously, it represents me as an artist, the producer, the songwriting services, management, blah blah blah. And then on the 501c3c nonprofit status side, we're building homes for the homeless and Watts. We're doing a lot of charitable giveaways.
Yeah, you say that like it's nothing, because I saw that on your Instagram. I saw, was it like a
container
like
homes?
Yeah, the container homes. Yeah, was that like a artist rendition of what you want to do? How is that like? How's that all coming about? Like, you know what I mean?
First of all,
that looks doper than the place I live in. So, like, you know, hook me up with one of those. You know, give me that friends
too.
And family discount.
Right.
You know, with all the glass windows and all that, right?
Man,
what is that all about?
So, my sister, who works on the nonprofit side with me, she works heavy in the public sector, and she's been doing a lot of things with ex-offenders for like the last 10 years or whatever. And she was formerly incarcerated, did federal time, learned a lot about the system on the inside, came out and said, I'm going to change some of this stuff. And she's been dedicated to changing, you know, policies and helping ex-offenders get job placement and just opportunities beyond. And so she learned a lot, and she was telling me about this crazy epidemic, this homeless epidemic in Los Angeles, California, and how terrible it is.
Yeah, it's getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
You can just see it when you drive through anywhere in LA,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And so, me, I have a passion to create change, positive change. I don't know why. When I took a shower today, I always pray and stuff, and I said, Lord, I don't know why I love to change lives so much. I just love it, but I guess keep using me if that's what I'm supposed to do. And I just said, homeless is not once again, it's perspective, because somebody homeless will probably say, I'm doing just fine.
Sure.
But homeless is not good to me.
No, like, it's not.
Right. Yeah, yeah, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I felt like if there's an abundance of homeless individuals mm-hmm. and no one, and I don't want to exaggerate and say yeah, no yeah. one, but. Yeah, yeah.
It's not really being addressed. It's not really
right.
being addressed. Right.
And then it's not a lot of solutions for it
yeah,
either.
Yeah. It's not a popular topic.
Exactly.
Right. You're not getting these like celebrities like
exactly.
fighting for their cause. Right.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
I said,
it's easy to do like, you know, not, you know, all these causes, they're all worthy. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's like much easier to do a benefit for like breast cancer and put a game out. Right.
Of course.
Versus like homelessness. Right.
Of course.
It's gritty. It's not clean.
And it's a very strenuous process to go through, dealing with the city and all of these different things.
Okay.
And so I just said, I want to attack it.
Okay.
Nobody else want to do it. I want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I end up developing a great relationship with the 15th District Council member, Joe Busciano, and John Jones, who's the field director of the 15th District. And 15th District is Watts, San Pedro, Wilmington, Harbor City, Harbor Gateway. And everything I do represents this, you know, the tower on my head is mm-hmm. it represents Watts. So anything and everything I can do to give back to my city, I try. Mm-hmm. So Watts right now has 100 unsheltered documented homeless individuals. Mm-hmm. These are real numbers that on, you know, in order to get them, you got to go on the inside. And so now I said, you know, if I want to give back to my community, why don't I start with this? Mm-hmm. I can, you know, I do backpacks and do turkeys and give toys, but that's a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. That's not a...
Yeah, it's not a solution,
it's
right?
It's not a solution.
Yeah, you're helping, you know, in the interim, right?
But which is good, still good.
Yeah, it's still good, but it's not the root of the problem, right?
Let's get to some real issues.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why...
People end up in that situation, right?
Exactly. There's a reason why people are in the streets.
Yeah.
And there's a... So... This is why, and it kind of is a perfect segue to why I appreciate Adidas mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. They didn't pay me to say this because I'm not getting a check from them. And
not yet,
my
not
part-
yet. Yeah, not You're yet. Right. We got to work on that Adidas.
Right. And my partner and everybody on my team can vouch for this. I haven't got a check from Adidas, but the reason why I appreciate them is mm-hmm. because they're actually hands-on in the communities.
Okay.
Everything that they do may not be solutions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Band-Aids, but there are some very, and they're open to solutions, especially if you have the ideas.
Okay.
Just like my focus is figuring out what those problems are and why these people are getting in these positions and creating the solution. All these people need is programs and transition, mm-hmm. transition programs to get them out of the hood into something else so they can see something outside of those walls and outside of that radius until everything within that radius stimulates and gets better, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a way to stimulate the economy. Mm-hmm. You got to create jobs. You got to create, like, I want to bring factories and stuff in Watts. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Toyota and say, hey, let's put a factory right here. It goes a bunch of open land.
Do you bring this kind of activism into your music?
Very subtle and mm-hmm. very. Music is such a. I use this as mm-hmm. the time to talk about it.
Got it. So you,
my music, I cater to.
That's the platform.
Yeah.
And it's an art form.
And that's why I say you use the platform
in,
to
give you the
everything
spotlight. And then you use that spotlight to bring awareness to causes that you believe in.
Exactly. Anytime you turn the mic on, that's my favorite part.
I gotcha.
Whether it's with the music behind it or where it's like this, it's a conversation.
Okay.
This is the easiest. I love to do this because I get to get everything off that mm-hmm. that I want to do. And I look at it like this. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. let's say a lot of these things don't transpire.
Yeah.
At least it's thought-provoking. And I get you to think about it, or somebody may hear it and say, hey, I want to get behind that and help you facilitate that.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So,
speaking of activism, right, and you and I talked about it a little bit off camera, right? There's a lot of controversy with Colin Kaepernick's Nike ad, right?
Because
he's like the face of the 30th anniversary of the Just Do It ad campaign,
right?
And there's a lot of people that are, I guess, supportive of it. And then there's a large number of people that are mocking it or against
it, right?
You know, like 50 Cent's trolling. And, you know what I mean?
Funny.
So yeah.
So I actually posted a bunch of them on my story. It was funny.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think salute to Colin Kaepernick mm-hmm. for his continuous stride towards raising awareness mm-hmm. for social injustice. police brutality, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Nike, to get behind a campaign or get behind a person who fights for that, mm-hmm. it's not easy. You know,
it's not an easy decision, right?
It's not an easy decision. Yeah. It's a huge risk.
Yeah, it's a risk, right?
Obviously, it's a business, so you cross-reference everything. You dot your T's and you dot your I's and cross mm-hmm. your T's.
Right.
What I would like to see next mm-hmm. is Nike, and maybe they're already doing this and I'm just not aware, is Nike actually going into these communities and creating these programs that really raise the awareness.
I see.
Put the money
mm-hmm.
into
is.
The yeah. That's what I want to see. So I'm not saying like it's bad or good or nothing. I'm like, okay.
Okay. It's a good start.
This is a great start.
Yeah.
And what I would also love to see mm-hmm. is the attention to get off these athletes mm-hmm. and to get more into what they're fighting for.
Gotcha.
I wish the campaign mm-hmm. you know what? I'm not gonna say it. I'm gonna just give it to Adidas and we're gonna do it.
Okay.
No. I wish I just want, I don't want everybody to get confused.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't because a lot of people are confused with, yay, Nike, yay, this, mm-hmm, yay, that. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not the struggle, right? That's not where the battle lines are, right?
Remember, Colin Kaepernick
started
this, or is a part of starting this with mm-hmm. his other partner mm-hmm. because of the social injustices and police brutality and things.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing people like Freddie Gray, rest in peace. Trayvon Martin, rest in peace. The Sandra Blands, rest in peace. All of these different individuals who went through these struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Let's highlight them and make them the celebrities, even though they're not here no more.
Yeah.
But let's make them the celebrities so when everybody mm-hmm. see this campaign,
right.
they understand what Nike is getting behind.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, are you getting behind the athlete
mm-hmm.
or are you getting behind the cause?
Yeah.
And I would love to see them get behind the cause more, but at the end of the day, the start is mm-hmm. positive, and I love the energy that is pulling out of people, is bringing a positive energy, and I never discount positive energy from no individual, whether I agree with how it was approached or I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I love the energy that's coming from it,
mm-hmm.
but now, okay, that's not, no, I don't like Band-Aids. Band-Aids mm-hmm. don't heal. That's fixed this problem now. I can't hold Nike responsible to fix it, but let's just start doing it. Like let's get to business now.
Mm-hmm.
Great job. Now let's go get to it.
Yeah. No,
so
no I definitely
that's
understand.
My stance on
okay,
it. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So what do we have next coming up from you? What can we expect? You know, what can your supporters and fans, you know, really get behind?
Man, this LAFC song, man. Shout out 3252 LAFC.
Mm-hmm.
We went in the championship this year, man.
You putting it out there?
No, nah, man. Yeah. That's first and foremost. I got a lot of new music that's dropping too.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the studio heavy, man. I think I finally recorded the biggest hit of my life. No one has heard it yet, but it's coming after. Hopefully, the LAFC song is a launching pad to get to that song. But I've been in the studio, and then like I said, I'm very excited about all of my. Public sector stuff.
Okay.
Like with the homes, I'm gonna do a big job music festival
mm-hmm.
where we try to create jobs.
Mm-hmm.
My brand is growing more and more, the ThinkWatts brand. So hopefully more people get into that a little more, and just spreading the energy, man. Getting this energy out there that there's a dude out here named Styx who really is the truth
mm-hmm.
in all aspects.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what's next, man. Just keep moving forward, helping change lives, life after life, and you know, let God do the rest.
Awesome, you know, man. Appreciate you being here.
Come on, man. This
support
is amazing.
Styx.
Hey.
ThinkWatts. We got all your info on there. You know, what's the best way to get in touch with you, and what do you vibe with? You know, like
hit me on any. I actually respond back to a lot of people. Hit me on Instagram.
Okay.
That's the quickest way to get a response.
Okay.
I mean, I got the website, the thinkwatts.com. I got the Twitter. All of my Twitter. Everything is the same. Watts
mm-hmm.
Styx.
Right.
Watts Styx. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, just Snapchat. Everything is Watts Styx. If you want to potentially get a response,
mm-hmm.
hit me on Instagram. Shoot me a DM.
Long
as you don't say nothing crazy or send me no butt naked.
Yeah.
You'll get a response back.
Right. All right. Awesome. Great to hear. Thank you for showing us love and coming out today.
I challenge everyone to a futsal match right here.
Coming soon. Coming soon, right?
Coming
Urban
soon.
Futsal ain't coming soon?
Come on. Coming soon. It's going down. $10,000 bets on. No, I'm just playing.
We'll make it happen. With the sponsor and with the proceeds going to a worthy cause.
Come on now. Going to building homes for the homeless. Who's in? We in?
Sounds good.
Let's get it.